Hello and welcome to our podcast, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Bishop Robert Byrne, Bishop of Hexham and Newcastle, and recently returned from the Eucharistic Congress in Budapest. Bishop Robert, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and it's good to talk to you today.
As always, yeah. And it's been a while, hasn't it, with the pandemic?
It certainly has. It's been 18 months of a very difficult time, I think, for all of us, and it's changed our lives in so many ways, and especially in the way we've lived out our faith. It seems to me that many of us have suffered greatly, not only physically and emotionally, but also spiritually, not being able to get to Mass, not being able to receive the sacraments, and not being able to come together as the church, as the people of God, meeting together and trying to form a relationship with each other. I think the stream Mass, the live stream Masses, have been enormously helpful to people, and especially those who are unable to get to Mass in any case. But I think now probably we've got to start thinking about coming together as the people of God to worship together as a community, so that we can grow in faith and also grow in our mission as a church that reaches out to the margins.
Yeah, and I've heard those strong phrases, you know, sacramental famine, Eucharistic famine.
Right.
Obviously, the Eucharist, Christ, at the heart of our faith is of vital importance.
Absolutely.
We've seen positives, such as an increase in prayer at home, personal devotions. I think people adapted and wanted to keep Christ at the centre. But that's different from this beautiful sacrament, isn't it? How do we encourage people to come back and join the whole of our faith, as it were?
Well, our faith isn't just a personal devotion. It's something that we share. It's something that we draw strength from each other and, of course, from Christ, ultimately. And we can only do that really effectively, I think, by coming together as God's family in order to draw strength from the Eucharist, to hear the word spoken to us, to receive the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist, so that we grow together. And yes, we can do those things at home, but it's not the most effective way. It's certainly not the way in which we, as it were, grow together, because we're not individuals. We're gathered together as God's family. We're part of a family. We're part of the structure of the church, of the called people of Christ, who need to be together in order to grow.
And do you think need to, I don't want to necessarily say reacquaint ourselves with being in the presence of Christ, that miraculous and wonderful thing that we have in the church, but is there a danger that people will sort of get too used to turning up, going through the motions? How do we sort of show that great reverence and importance of Christ at the centre?
I think that's always a challenge, whether we've been through a pandemic or not. I mean, we need to grow in faith. But I think we can do that certainly in my own diocese in Hexham and Newcastle. We're having a year of the Eucharist, which is really linked with the synodal process, which the Holy Father's asked us to engage with, which is really a reflection on, for all of us, on how we listen to the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit, how we emerge, as it were, really, from the pandemic, what kind of church do we want to be? A listening church, an active church, a church which is ready to go to the margins, and a church which certainly is focused always on Christ. And we can only be fed on Christ, really. It's only Christ that adequately feeds us, and we only get to know him through the Eucharist. And that's the best way to know him, I think, through that Eucharistic presence. And that's why, for me, the Eucharistic year in the diocese will be one which is feeding people so that they are able to listen more to the voice of the Spirit, to the voice of Christ speaking in their hearts, so that we can reform and go forward.
And we're rather formally encouraging people back to church from the first Sunday of Advent, aren't
Indeed.
We?
Indeed, yes.
The bishops, of course, released the statement, the day of the Lord.
That's right.
Sundays being our day.
The day, yes.
Indeed. Yeah. Now, going across to your reflections from Budapest and the Eucharistic Congress there, it's funny because I saw an address from Patriarch Sarko, And he was talking, and it really moved me actually, about, you know, perhaps in our reality in England and Wales, we go to Mass, maybe we take it for granted, possibly at times. And he was talking about losing, you know, numbers of priests being killed. And perhaps, maybe, do you think we've got a bit comfortable in this country and we could perhaps look at other countries and realise that
probably.
Actually...
I had the privilege of speaking to Bishop Sarko, and it's strange, actually, he said that things have got a little better there since the Pope's visit, which is, I think, very interesting. But at the same time, many of our fellow Christians are suffering enormously. And I think the Eucharistic Congress was a time of meeting for people. And there were perhaps, I don't know, between 6,500, 7,000 delegates there from all over the world, which was a wonderful opportunity to hear different people's stories, not only from the Middle East, but also how they cope with the pandemic in the Far East and in other parts of the world. I think that was the great moment, really, of the Eucharistic Congress, was that coming together and listening to each other's stories. And the climax, of course, was the Holy Father's Mass in Budapest, when there were probably, they say, 100,000 people there. And it was enormously impressive and moving, and a great show of the unity of the Church and our unity of faith.
Absolutely. And young people are obviously very strong in their faith. And when it comes to Eucharistic adoration, we often see young people, as well as the older generations, of course, with vigils and holy hours and so forth. And in Hexham and Newcastle, you've got a vibrant youth team as well.
We have had. Yes, that's right.
Are they taking
yes,
this forward?
They're taking it forward very strongly. And we've got a whole programme of events, not only for youth, but for older people as well. And I think initiatives such as Night Fever and the Youth 2000 style of adoration is something which is very powerful and speaks to younger people. I'm sure that will be all part of our programme.
Do you know, Eucharistic adoration is probably the reason I converted to Catholicism. It was the first time I felt something completely different when I was encouraged just to kneel, just to be in the presence of Christ. I mean, it's sometimes something you can't explain easily. You literally feel an experience, don't you?
That is true. And I think that's true in so many cases. And I think that Eucharistic adoration is a way in which many people can find their way back into the Church. They may feel alienated for one reason or another to actually partake in the Eucharist and to receive the Eucharist. But I think adoration is a way in which people can, as it were, make a soft entry, if you like, back into the Church through prayer and through adoration, and that sense of the presence of God, which is so essential for all our lives.
And bearing in mind that the gift that it is to have the real presence, to have Christ among us at these times, what would you say to somebody that's sort of thinking about the Catholic faith? Not sure, but may well just simply find a place of peace in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
True.
People often say to me, oh, what should I be thinking about? What should I be praying about? I haven't got a great answer apart from just sit and be. What would you say to
I would say exactly the same. Just sit and be, and just let your mind settle onto the presence of God and that real presence of God in the Eucharist. And I think he will do the rest. It's the Spirit that prays in us. We don't need to make the words. He does it for us.
And without going over the point, we are lucky, though, aren't we, in England and Wales? There are some remote communities in South America, in some African countries. I remember speaking to a bishop in Malawi that had a particular part of his diocese where you had to hike for miles, cross a river, and the access to the sacraments is extremely limited. So we are lucky, aren't
we? We're very lucky indeed in so many ways. And although we feel that there's a shortage of priests and things, it's a shortage of people that we have, in fact, more than priests. Those are the things that we have to think about, I think, in these next years.
But then I do cast my mind back to 2018 and Adoramus, our National Eucharistic Congress, which you coordinated, of course. And the one thing that won't leave me, I mean, there were some great addresses, our now Bishop Oakley, your brother
That's right.
Bishop, in Northampton.
Yeah.
Robert Barron, of course.
Very good, yeah.
Some superb addresses there. But for me, it was actually that very wet Eucharistic procession on the Sunday.
Could we ever forget it?
Could we ever forget it? But it hammered it down, didn't it?
It did.
And yet there were thousands of people on the streets of Liverpool, regardless. And that's, I think, because the Eucharist moves people, doesn't it?
It's the wellspring, really, of our life with Christ, because we know he's present there. And for Catholics, it's one of the great ways, through a procession and through other devotions, it's a way that we demonstrate that faith to the world and share the faith with the world so that others, please God, will be attracted to join us.
And I think of Corpus Christi, that great feast, and processions through the centre of London. It's interesting, isn't it? Because you feel quite proud as a Catholic.
You do, yeah.
Quite moved. People kneel, don't they?
Indeed, they do. And it's a growing phenomenon. I mean, when I was a priest in Oxford, we had one there, and there's other cities now are following suit and having processions around the Feast of Corpus Christi, which are life-giving to people, certainly.
So, finally, Bishop Robert, what would your message be to our Catholic community in England and Wales with regard to the welcome back to Mass, being in front of Christ in the Eucharist? How would you encourage them to come back and be with us in the full life of the Church?
I would invite people to come back to Mass, to encounter the living Christ through the Eucharist. And I would also encourage people to share that faith with other people, to share that faith that we have, the joy that we have through knowing Christ, through being church, through being together as God's people, that then we will have the strength to go out and to share that message with all people. You know, and as the Holy Father says, that we do so by reaching out to those on the margins, whether that is through poverty, whether it's through spiritual need, whatever it is, homelessness, whatever, I think we should be there in the strength of Christ to reach out to those around us and to share our wonderful faith.
Because we're better in community and in communion.
That's how we're made. That's when we function best, is when we're together and in unity.
Bishop Robert, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.